I'd like to start by saying good evening to everyone. All right. So our theme for this month is consistently changing into Christ. And our topic for tonight is as a man of obedience. And so our scripture was given John chapter 8, verse 29. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, which reads, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." Now, we know that Jesus, as his earthly ministry began, since his earthly ministry began, he was one who was obedient to the Father, one who always yielded his own will so that he could do the will of God. And this was even up until the last day he was here on this earth. So Jesus is the perfect example of complete obedience to the will of God. And so if we are going to be ones who are consistently trying to change into Christ as a man of obedience, we need to look at how did Christ gain or learn this obedience. Now, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, Paul would write, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." Now, that phrase, "let this mind," or "let this mind," is one word in the original Greek. It's one word, and it in the Strong's definition, it has the idea to exercise one's mind. And we know what exercise is. I can look around and say most of us in here know what exercise is because we don't like to do it. I don't like to do it, but I know it's necessary. Exercise is necessary when you want to grow, when you want to change, when you want to become better. And so in order to have the mind of Christ, our minds have to be exercised. Now, I find it interesting in Philippians 4, we were studying this in the class, that in Philippians 4, so many people quote verse 13. They say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can win a national championship, or I can climb Mount Everest." But that's not what Paul was writing about. Paul was saying, "I have learned to be content. So no matter what state I'm in, whether I have, whether I have not, whether I'm abound or whether I'm abased, I know how to be content. And it's through the strength that Christ gives me that I have learned these things." Contentment is something that has to be learned. I find it interesting that in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 8, and I want to read this one. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 8, Jesus learned obedience. I find that that blows my mind, Brother Mike. The omniscient God who knows everything. If you know everything, how do you learn something? Look at how he did it. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience." How? "By the things which he suffered." That's a problem. Children of God don't like to suffer. But it's through his sufferings that he learned obedience. God, creator of all things, through him, by him, in him, for him, the creator of the universe, learned something through suffering. And if Jesus could learn obedience through suffering, I'm sure you and I can too. In fact, I know we can because our theme is consistently changing into Christ. And the verse is Romans 8:29. But go up one verse. Romans 8:28, one of my favorite verses. "And we know." What do we know? Paul says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Now that verse, Romans 8:28, we love to use that and say that, yes, God works everything out for my good. That's not what the focus of that verse is. The focus of Romans 8:28 is not your good, it's his purpose. But that leads to the question, well, what is God's purpose? I'm so glad you asked. The very next verse, "to be conformed to the image of his dear son, Jesus." That means everything we go through, whether good or bad, is helping us. God is molding us. He's impressing upon us, if you will, to look more like his son. I'm going to use a verse that has nothing to do with my lesson, but it'll make sense. Give me time. In Job chapter 23, verse 10, Job says, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth like what, Job? As gold." Have you ever looked at how gold is made, how gold is refined, how gold is purified? I'm going to use this illustration and the lesson will be yours. There was a story of a goldsmith who was renowned for his pure gold, his metals that he would make, whether they would be weapons, whether they would be jewelry. His gold was just so pure. His metals were so refined. He was world renowned for this. And so people would always ask him, "How do you get your metals to be so clean, so pure?" He says, "I'll tell you my secret." He says, "What I do is I heat up the flames and I put the metal in. I put the gold in." He says, "And I leave it in there. And sometimes I'll even turn up the fire." He says, "I leave it in until I can see my reflection in the gold." You see, sometimes in life, as we're suffering, if you will, we feel like the fires of life have been turned up and we're asking God, we're praying, "God, please remove this from me. Take this from me. God, no." And God says, "No, I'm not going to pull you out of the fire until I can see myself in you." What is the purpose of Romans 8:28? To be conformed into the image of his son. It is through that suffering that God helps us to look more like Jesus. I'll give you an Old Testament example. Do you remember Joseph, who was sold by his brothers into slavery, who went from the pit to the prison to the palace? And it's amazing that as Joseph gets to the palace, he's standing before his 11 brothers. There were 12, but one wasn't there. His 11 brothers. And he shows himself and they realize this is Joseph. Jesus had 11 disciples when he resurrected and he showed himself unto them. And that's how they knew that was Jesus. I like to study types and antitypes, and that's one. But all of that suffering Joseph went through, he was looking just like Jesus. All of the suffering that we go through, what are we learning from it? Let's go back to Hebrews 5. And this time we'll read verse 9. I'll start with verse 8 one more time. "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to who? Those who obey him." How do we learn obedience? How do we learn obedience? 1 Peter 2. 20:21, and that's just for reference. I told you my last verse was Hebrews 5, but just for reference, Christ is our example of how to suffer and obey the will of God. Through your suffering, what do you do? Do you fret? Do you worry? Do you get upset? Do you blame others? Do you take it out on God? Or do you learn how to be patient? Do you learn how to endure? Do you learn how to be obedient? Philippians 2, 5 through 8 shows that Christ was obedient even unto the death of the cross. If you are not a child of God, you cannot say that you have learned obedience. How can you say you're obeying God and you won't even obey his son? How can you say you're obeying his son and you won't even obey his gospel? If you have not obeyed the gospel, I'm going to beg and plead with you tonight that you hear God's word, Romans 10:17, that you believe that Jesus Christ is who God declares him to be, Hebrews 11:6, that you also repent of your sins, Luke 13:3 and 13:5, that you confess Jesus Christ, Matthew 10:32 and 33, that you be baptized, added to the body, buried with him in baptism, Romans 6:4, and rise to walk in the newness of life and be faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. If you are a child of God, but you haven't been obedient, I want you to make that right tonight as we together stand and sing.